Welcome back to the show. Let's go. Line number two, say good morning to the president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association, Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean. You're on the air.
And good morning to you and your audience.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry, Patty, you reached out this morning or indicated you'd like to have me on. Certainly, I'm always more than happy to do so.
I read a story, and I bet many people read a story, about the survey or questionnaire you sent out to a variety of educators and some 200-plus respondents, talking about how the school year is rolling along, specifically about their levels of stress, anxiety, and worry in the school. What were you hearing?
Well, I want to clarify that the survey, the questionnaire, that was actually put out by another media network, and we were made aware of the results, but it wasn't our questionnaire. It's something that this media network chose to reach out to teachers and get their feedback through a voluntary questionnaire. The results that I've seen, they're not surprising. They're not surprising at all. It mirrors what I'm hearing from many teachers across the province as I go through, and I've made a point of visiting at least one school each and every day since the school year began. And while teachers are very glad to be back, teachers are glad to be seeing their students, there's no question on that one. But there are certainly additional demands being placed on teachers to cope with a COVID reality. There's stressors about curriculum delivery. And there's anxiety about, while we don't have case in our schools at present, and me and you have spoken on this previously, there's anxiety about what might happen should a case land in our schools.
So I wondered aloud as to what the combination of what's actually happening in the classroom today and some of the worries and the unknowns, because there were so many decisions that were left to the very last minute, the 11th hour, as they say, before we reopen the province of schools. What do you think is that combination leading to this level of anxiety in the classroom?
I think there's certainly all, one is certainly rolling into the other, but again, to reiterate, is that there are decisions that would have been much better made sooner rather than later. I have mentioned publicly that, give full credit to Premier Fury and Minister Osborne in moving on things since they accept their portfolios in August, but there's times that decisions need to be made, and there are stressors in the system. Teachers are feeling it. One common refrain I am hearing consistently from teachers is that the refrain used to be, I'm June tired and it's Easter. I'm hearing that now, as you roll into November, that same thing. And the reason for that, teachers are working what they can to ensure that the appropriate protocols are being followed, and these are very important. They're working in a dynamic where they have questions about their own health and safety should a case land in the schools, and they're trying to couple that with bridging the gap between learning gaps that may have rolled through from last spring into this year. And these are things that are adding to the stress, the angst, the exhaustion that many teachers are feeling.
Are there any additional supports? Because we talked about resources associated with the children. So hiring more guidance counselors and more student assistants and all the way through, and 70 subs being moved into a full-time arrangement. Any additional supports for things like the levels of anxiety experienced by the teachers?
Well, these are things that we certainly want to engage with the employer on, with the department on as well. In terms of specific resources for teachers specifically, these are discussions to have. Our EAP program is always there for our members, but if I can circle back to the school counselors and school administrators specifically, the infusion of these resources were done to restore things to the cuts that were made in 2009. The school counselors were put in place to implement a recommendation that was made back in 2007. In both scenarios, those recommendations on resource were made completely separate from COVID, and it is a positive addition, but it brings us to a level of resourcing to support needs that were there pre-COVID. We've spoken numerous times on the importance of an independent review of the allocation model being used for a school system. From our standpoint, there is a need for significant influx of resource. We've long spoken about the importance of class size, the impact it has. We've long spoken about a number of things there. And while that is certainly our stance, we think it's important that there be an assessment done from an independent body to ascertain exactly where our schools are, what our schools need, and what is needed to bridge the gap to ensure that our schools have the appropriate resourcing model to meet student needs.
Last one. So we have to make sure that we all have to pay close attention to our mental wellness and find the coping strategies and, yes, whatever supports that need to be in place so that we get through this, because it has been a long, long road. The concept and the conversation surrounding public exams, mm-hmm. does the NLTA have anything to offer on that front? Because I like the idea of standardized testing, and I think there's a place for it, even as we change our approach to how we evaluate students and their progress and their performance. What about public exams? What does the NLTA have to say?
Well, I think we'd have to separate the discussion on public exams really into two separate veins. If we talk about public exams for this school year, the 2020-21 school year, we have to appreciate and understand that for many courses, there were gaps that students had from the prerequisites. Let's take high school mathematics as being one example. Those students are taking their 3,000 on mathematics this year. Those teachers would have had to engage significant time to ensure that the prerequisite material was covered for this year before they take on the new material as required for this school year. That being said, I know I've been involved in the public examination process. I've written items for public exams. I've proofread public exams. I've put things together. I've been involved in writing curriculum. I've been involved in the field testing. The public exam process is one that gets engaged in at least 2 years before the actual writing of that exam. Those exams are written based on they're developed based on a normal completion, a regular completion of the school year. What I would hold is that for this year, because of the complications, our position would be that canceling them for the 2021 school year would be a prudent move. Now, if we're talking beyond that, I think it's important to do an in-depth analysis. I would hold, and it's a fact, that Newfoundland and Labrador is one of the few jurisdictions across the country. I won't say the only one, but I know the only one in Atlantic Canada that still maintains that provincial exit examination process. I'd be interested in looking at the data. I'd be interested in looking at the data as to when public exams were canceled back in the late 90s. What does the data show about student achievement in post-secondary on their future career paths? I think we need to have an actual foundation for that. Our students in Nova Scotia who don't have these exit exams, less prepared for post-secondary, less prepared for their futures than ours are. I don't believe that they're less prepared. I don't believe they're more prepared, but this is the data analysis that needs to be examined. So we also hold up that many jurisdictions worldwide, let's take Finland and the Scandinavian countries by way of an example. If you look at models that are held up as being the best education systems globally, Finland consistently ranks at or near the top. They don't have those processes. They don't have those comprehensive exit exams. But yet, their system do very well. Maybe the question is that if we want to get Finnish results, maybe we should explore doing things the Finnish way. So for this year, the position would be it makes sense to have them cancel for this year, given the differential. What happens if we do get an outbreak partway through the year and certain school communities need to revert to other modes of learning? Is it fair to have students across the province doing a standardized exam in non-standardized procedures?
Well, then the answer would be no at that point. But I guess what the question is if things proceed as they are currently in the schools and we don't have to go to scenario B or C, you know, what would be the merit and the ability to have a fair public exam offered across the province? That's all. And when we, you know, sometimes it's really difficult to do jurisdictional comparisons when we just talk about something like the finality of a public exam and what that means for post-secondary success. When you really have to have a comprehensive look at the first layer of education and what caliber of early childhood education is in place, all those things before we can really do the straight up grade 8 number comparisons. And you know, there should be some more consistency across the country too. You know, there's, you know, for political parties bent on depending on ideology to be crafting curriculum that fits their political leanings is also quite strange and is not helpful.
I would agree, and I've had some conversation with my counterparts in Alberta where what they're engaging in curriculum development, it should be concerning to everyone who values a well-rounded, complete education system that acknowledges the histories of all peoples in this country. But that's probably another discussion for another
time.
Yeah,
okay, fair enough. Yeah.
But that being said, I would certainly agree. As one of the national vice presidents on the Canadian Teachers Federation, I've been an advocate of teacher organizations engaging with the decision makers the national body with the national decision making, right? That being the Council of Ministers of Education. There are parallel bodies. I think engagement between both organizations would be helpful. It's something I have pushed for, something that is important. But again, just looking at the public exams, our position would be that for this year it makes sense, not so much because of a regular year, but the reality is that we know that teachers, and I can say this as a classroom teacher who have taught every single year, the data consistently shows in the course that I was primarily responsible for, that the unit that was covered at the end of the course arguably is certainly not the most difficult in the course, but yet it consistently scored lower amongst your four units. The reason being is that at the end of the year, teachers are tasked with trying to cover the curriculum in a regular school year. We know that this year, with September, October being occupied with ensuring that any prerequisite materials that may not have been adequately addressed are addressed, this complicates. Keep in mind, this exam was developed at least a year and a half ago, at least probably likely 2 years ago, the field testing procedure. So if teachers are right now having to occupy 10% of the school year, if we just isolate September, to address prerequisite material, that would mean that throughout the remainder of the year, they'll be rushing at an even faster pace to cover the curriculum in the remaining units, in the primary course. These are the reasons why we think for this year, at least, a cancellation of public examinations would have merit. The same arguments that can be made for the cancellation of the January exams in semesterized schools, we think would be equally valid for the June one. But it's one that I'm looking forward to having further discussion with the minister as the coming weeks unfold, and that will be our position on it.
Appreciate your time, Dean. Thank you.
Kindly welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's NLT President Dean Ingram. Glad we went down the public exam road. Okay, let's take a break. We talked about the wave of political announcements that happened yesterday. The chair of Hospitality Newfoundland and Labrador is throwing his hat into the ring. He's seeking the Liberal nomination in the District of Terra Nova. Steve Dente after the break. Don't go away.